Appreciate your prayers again tonight. I'd like to start with a few verses in the third chapter of Genesis. Three and one. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Now, I believe the Lord knows everything. It's hard for me to think that the Lord didn't know where Adam was at. I think he knew exactly where Adam was at. But I think the question that he asked reverbs through the ages. Because the question is, where art thou? And it come in a time in Adam's life that Adam wasn't in the place that he should have been. God knew where Adam was at, but I think God brings to the attention in his mercy and his love, but I think he brings the attention to the mind of man, asking the question, where are you at? Adam had to respond to the question God was asking him. Made him to have to think about it. Deal with it. It's more than Adam's physical presence is what is being talked about, but it's more than his physical presence. What made Adam be where he was at? Why was Adam where he was at? He was hidden amongst the trees. He was hidden there. He didn't do that before. He didn't have to do that before. There was nothing that made him have to do that before. Always before he could openly, innocently, just be in the open. Here I am. But something happened. And now, Adam, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. Where are you at? So tonight, this is the question. And it's a question only you can answer, because God will only is asking you tonight, where are you? So that you can deal with where you're at, where are you? Husband can't answer that for wife tonight. Well, he might be the closest one of any human that can do it, but he still can't. He can't do it. Wife can't do it for husband. Your parents, children can't answer it for you. I can't answer it for my friends or my family or any of that. Because, do you know, I've been wrong a lot of times when I go to try to answer a question like that. I've had people say to me, well, Brother Marty, how's so-and-so doing? Oh, great, great. Looks to me like they're doing great, and before long I find out they ain't doing great at all. Doing bad. Or I'll say he ain't doing so bad, and then all of a sudden, because it don't, and then all of a sudden they come and just thank the Lord for what? Well, maybe I made a mistake. But tonight, you're the only one that really can answer this question. So I wanted
to present it this way, and I hope that you'll give this thought the utmost attention tonight for your own soul, to answer it honestly of things that the pastor can't see, the preacher can't see, the neighbors can't see, the things that's inside to you, ask of you, are you ready tonight to meet the Lord? Are you satisfied tonight to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I've done what I know to do. Lord, I feel like that I can say, as Paul said, I have a crown laid up for me. I'm ready to be offered. Tonight, the question is, where art thou? In your life, your experience. Are you satisfied with the life that you're living? Are you satisfied with what you've done with your life? Are you satisfied that you are being faithful to God? Are you satisfied that you don't have to hide in the corner if He comes? Are you satisfied that if He opens up your life, you're all right with that? Whatever the Lord may reveal of your life, your existence, where you're at, you can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your glory, you can use that part of my life. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with that. Where are you? You're not where you used to be, maybe. Well, where you at? This thought was spurred in my mind by an event that happened a few weeks ago, months ago. I'm not sure how long it's been now. But it was a big news item up home. There was a young man that was starting his freshman year. He was 18, maybe 19 at the most. He was starting his freshman year at West Virginia University, and he was just arrived there, and he was stabbed to death. He lost his life. He had went there to Morgantown, where the university's at, and he had been there long, and he was stabbed to death. Made big news, because he was a young man. He was a popular man, and all these things, and he lost his life so tragically. And when I first heard that, I remember thinking, that's terrible. That's terrible. But I wonder what the story is. I kept wanting to say, what's the story? What happened to this young man? Because when he first told it, he just said a tragedy happened. That he was stabbed to death and he died. Then as more come out, they started telling the story. He's at a bar at 2:30 in the morning and he gets into a fight with somebody. And this come to my mind, where art thou? Where you at? You know, people are becoming, Lord help, I don't even understand the human mind sometimes. I don't understand our culture anymore. I don't understand the people around it because it's almost like taboo for anybody to say, maybe he shouldn't have been there. But I want to broadcast it because I care about you. I care. I want people to know that there are certain ways and certain places that you can get into that's not good for you. And if it was my son and he was going off to Morgantown, I would say to him, son, don't be out at 2:30 at the bars. You can die a lot of ways, but son, listen to me. There's places that just really isn't good to go. He said, now, Brother Marty, nobody should be stabbed anywhere. That's true. That's true. It shouldn't happen. A lot of things that happen shouldn't happen. But there is something that you should do. You shouldn't go where you shouldn't go. You shouldn't put yourself in that kind of a place. There is never a justification for any young girl to be molested. But it's almost like you can't say, young girls, don't do that. Don't make yourself a target. Where are you? Where are you? I'm saying something deeper. Where are you? What drove the young man to have to his freedom of so young and go? And I think he was going for studies. He was going to be something. He was going to be all these that he desired and wanted to be. But something also drove him to that 2:30 rendezvous. Where you at, young man? Tonight I say for all of us, where you at? Because there's something more important than just these bodies even. There's eternal life. And where are you at? Because it's more than just saying, well, I go to church on Sundays and I've been listening. No, where are you at in your life? What is it that's drawing and pulling on you? What is it that makes you want to do? I see it quite often, and sometimes when I see it, I just say, I wish sometimes that I could, that I had the liberty to say something. I see these girls sometimes when they hit 12 years old, 13 years old, and they don't have proper, my mind, give me the liberty, but they don't have proper instructions from those that's instructing. And they start wanting to be 30. They start at wanting, dressed to be this. And I just want them so bad to say, don't do that. Let me tell you a better way. Let me tell you something that will protect you and be a blessing to you and give you honor and dignity. Folks, we live in an age of technology and the internet's out there, and more we see the dangers of it. And I want to warn you tonight, where are you at? Where are you at? Is God pleased with that? That you're doing? Well, you know, about any of us could have the ability, I assume I don't really have, but I'm saying most people have the ability to be able to sneak off into private areas to do. But where are you at? I'm going farther than doing it. I want to say, where are you at? What's the draws? What's the pull tonight? Where are you at? What's leading you and pulling you? What's the passions of your life? What's the desire? Eve heard these things. I'm going to say tonight, Eve ought to shut the door on that thing before it ever happened. You talk to the serpent. You allow those words to reiterate. You allow them to come in. You allow it. And it says, and she said, she looked at the tree and beheld, and she recognized something. It does look good. It looks like it's a good thing. There's something valuable here. She got some. She got tricked. She got deceived about what the value of this is. And who doesn't want to be wise? And who doesn't want to have the other things? And she should have shut the door on that. What happened way before they found themselves naked in the bushes. Without their dignity, without the ability to face God anymore. With the guilt that lay upon them. Where are you at tonight? Has sin caught up with you? Has bad things caught up with you? Or are they pulling on you? Where are you at tonight? Because I don't want to see anybody lost. And the best way to do it, to have the victory, is to realize where I'm at. And to be able to acknowledge, you don't have to acknowledge it to me, but I'd recommend tonight that you acknowledge all that to the Lord. And say, Lord, right here, you're asking, you're calling tonight, saying to me, where art thou? I want to say, Lord, right over here I am. Right over here. I'm over here, and Lord, you got me. You got me. There's been some things in my life that shouldn't be in there. And you know what's the danger of those things? They don't stay by themselves. They grow. You have to pay for these things. You have to pay for them eventually. I listen to the news of the world quite a bit. And I listen to the debates that people make. And it always seems to me like they leave out the essential. It seems like they leave out the obvious. You know, no reason, no matter why people's out there getting shot and killed, you ought to turn around and saying, they're still dead. Could they have prevented that? Where are you? What are you doing in your life tonight? I'd like to look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. Let's go to Jonah 1. First chapter of Jonah. Oh, the cry of the Lord to Jonah was, in the second verse of the first chapter, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, old Jonah. But Jonah had in his mind, I believe, that there is an area, a sphere of influence of the Lord. And where he was at was the sphere of influence of the Lord working. Now you might say, you're in this chapel, in meeting. The Lord has a realm of influence in people's lives. And he's influencing. If you're not careful, you come to a place like this, you get under conviction. Because somebody will stand up and say just exactly what you need to hear. I remember back in those days, and it still happens, but not like. But I remember in the days that conviction was right there, and things were, and you get under that conviction of the Lord, under the influence of God. See, and many people want to run from the presence of the Lord to get out of that. If I leave the building, then I can leave the influence of the Lord. Jonah was trying to get away out from under the influence that God had on him. Forget it. I used to work in the coal mines. I was a surveyor in the coal mines. 2 miles underground. You know, there was no beams of light that penetrated that darkness down there. I had a headlight, but you turn it off, you couldn't see your hand right like that. It was so dark, nothing could do it. But you know, sometimes my light would go out, or I'd turn it off for a moment, be in there in this darkness. But you know, I found God there. You can't go to the deepest hole to get away from God. He's still there. Jonah has an idea that if I get out from under the way the saints talk, if I get out from under the standards, if I get out from under, I'm going to get out from away from the presence of the Lord. Well, you better hope you never do. Where are you? You ever fight with that? You ever struggle with that? Has it ever been come to your mind as young people? Why did I have to be born here? Why did I have to be born among these people that believe that? The world looks like it's having such fun. I ain't making this up. And you know I'm not making this up. Why am I wouldn't have this on me. I wouldn't have to perform this. I wouldn't have to do this. And the world's having such fun and they're going to all these things. They're dying. They're miserable. They're heartache upon heartache. They can go with the laughter. They can go with the drinks. They can go with all that stuff. Folks, it isn't worth it. Where are you tonight? Are you leaning towards wanting, longing that you're going to have something else in your life? Some duty I don't have to do or whatever? You're as a man that's trying to get away from what God had him. I'm going to tell you, Jonas, don't run from the Lord. Your greatest blessing is right there where the Lord would have you. Oh, this looks tough. It looks shameful. It looks... I've lived long enough, folks, to tell you something. The old devil will come along and he'll whisper in your ear, you look so different than everybody else around here. They're looking at you funny. He'll even have somebody say something about it every once in a while and get you to thinking that it is awful to have to be this way. I have to be so unique, so different than everybody else around me. You know that's not really right. That's the devil lying to you. Telling you something altogether different. I'm telling you, it's not even true. I've lived through that and through that kind of thing and felt bad about those kind of things. When I was first saved, I was living for the Lord, but I didn't know a whole lot. I just wanted to live for the Lord, and things had kind of got to me every once in a while. But one of my buddies from the world pulls up. I was down at the end of the driveway cleaning the ditch out, and he pulls up there on a nice warm summer day, and he stopped right there at me and said, what do you think you're doing? Well, we normally don't talk like that to one another. He never did before. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you're out there in that sun like that with that long sleeves on? Oh, that. that. You're just burning me up. Well, good, because I ain't that hot. Well, he went in and gone, and I'm going to tell you, I wrestled around with the idea of it. I am so weird. I must be so different, so weird, so this, do that. And then I started, why didn't he say that to the loggers that work up there? Because all the loggers get out in the woods. They don't wear short sleeves. Back in those days, they always went, because it's brushy, it's all this. They put something on to protect them from the briars and the bugs and all that. But they're allowed to do it, and I'm not. Then you can see these pictures of these dignitaries on the steps of Washington, D.C. in a three-foot coat in the middle of the summer. And it's okay for them because that's integrity and that's... But it's not... No, I'm telling you, the devil's going to lie to you young people. And make it out like it's something terribly bad and something... No, it's because you're standing for Christ. That's why the devil hates it. He don't hate these other ways and things of what people do. People can wear the strangest, weirdest garbs, costumes, and do all kind of things. But you do it for Christ. And the devil ain't going to like it. You know what I've come to? I want to do it for Christ. And then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I found out after I got to that place, and the devil can't do that. I found many people that have said things have actually come and said, "Would you pray for me? We need some help." When I worked on the job over and over, the same ones that said, "Well, these different guy over here," and then after a time, he ended up coming and saying, "We need some prayer. My family needs prayer. My marriage needs prayer." They didn't let that hinder them a bit. Where are you tonight? Has the devil got you to thinking that this isn't worth it, or that somehow this isn't a right way, or there's a challenge there of these things? Where are you? Because I'm going to tell you, the old devil's working hard to try to get that. Somehow Jonah got in his mind that that was a wrong thing to do, to go down there to that old sinful, wicked Nineveh. So he was going to get out from under the influence of God. That's a bad idea. Folks, we need to be under the influence of God. That's where we should be. The scripture goes on and says that he tried to get out from the presence of the Lord, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea. Now I want us to focus tonight on this idea. He didn't send a soft breeze. He didn't just stir up a little commotion. No, God sent a great wind. Now, why don't you say, who sent this? God. Jonah, I got a gift for you. Jonah's here tonight. If you want to categorize wherever you want to categorize yourself, God's got a special gift for you tonight. And it's called a great wind. I thank God tonight for great winds. I don't like to be in the middle of great winds. I don't like Oklahoma windy weather. It just seems like it bothers everything around that I try to do. But I want to tell you something. In God's world, give me the great winds. I'm amazed at how many people God sends great winds to. I'm there acknowledging, thinking, God's being merciful to these people. He just sent them a great commotion of wind. You know what the wind does for the sea? The wind drives waves, and a great wind drives great waves. And it causes a great turn. You're not going to get away so easy, Jonah. The Lord's not going to let you go so easy. He's going to send you a wind, and that wind's going to accomplish what God sent it for. Thank God for the winds that God sends in His people's lives. Don't ever shun those great winds of God. Because what it does is it says and makes us have to deal with this question. Where art thou? Where art thou? I'm getting away from this and I think I can pull it off. I think I can get through this without anybody knowing. I think I can get through with this without ever having to deal with this in my life. I think I can get under the radar. I think I can hide myself. And no one will ever know I was called to. Or I never have to realize it. You know what a minister said one time? I totally agree with him. He said, the prisons are full of people God told on. God sees every action, and when he wants you told on, he'll tell on you. You think, I can be clever enough to hide. You can't be clever enough to hide. God can reveal. And what God does is he reveals. And it gets pretty humbling, folks. Now listen, this is all for eternal salvation, but I want you to know something tonight. And all of us have to go through it, so it's universal. To make heaven, we're going to have to humble ourselves. Not just when you get saved, but you're going to have to humble yourself all the time. Humbling. And God's going to send the humbling winds. He's going to send something that's going to make you have to make a decision. Where art thou tonight? Mighty God, send the great winds of our souls. Stir and rock us and help us to know that I'm right where I'm at. Right where I'm at. I want to go to heaven and I want to be faithful. And Lord, help me. And Jonah there was in that, and it says he sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Well, that's odd, but let's go on. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? The whole lot, folks. And he said unto them, you know what? This can be ironically funny. Who are you? Where are you? What's the story? I'm a Hebrew. Now, wait a minute. You mean the ones that come across that Red Sea split wide open? That guy? Those guys? You're saying you're one of the ones that claimed that God stopped the universe for a little while and turned it backwards? Now, wait a minute. Hebrew, you somehow, I'm going to tell you, God's going to put you in some places sometimes. Church of God people testify awful high, don't they? Now, you're the ones that I heard that preacher saying about living free from sin, aren't you? You're all the ones that lay hands on and anoint for healing of the body, ain't you? You're one of those people. You believe in holiness, right? That's me. I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Well, you're causing us a lot of trouble. For to be a religious man. He could have said, I'm a drunkard. I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. I'm a man God has on a journey. And you're causing this trouble? And he had to say, here I am. I thought I could hide myself and be overlooked. And I'm going to make an easy journey out of there, out of here, and out of responsibility and out of duty. And the Lord sends a great wind. And it uncovers, it stirs, it gets people to saying, who are you? Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. He had to tell it all. He had to tell it all right there. You know, I imagine Jonah, in my mind, I'd imagine Jonah must have felt wee little. But where are you at? Jonah, where are you at? The voice said, Jonah, where are you at? He can't hear it because he's asleep. There was no other option. He sent a great wind to wake him up, to stir him about who he was, so he could say with his own mouth. Folks, listen, sometimes we got to say it. God wants us to say it. I'm out of the way. Sometimes to get victory, you're going to have to confess it. You're going to have to say, where are you at? I've not been what God would have me to be. That's where I'm at. God has had things for me in my life, and I know it. I know the Lord had more for me in my life. You know, I would be willing to say that a lot of us here will say, I want to be all God wants me to be, and I aim to find that place in my life sometime. I aim to be more serious about God than I am. I aim to be more diligent, more and more or closer to God. I aim to be that, and I'm going to do it one of these days. But where are you at now? Because that's all wishing and hoping, but where you at? Because it takes me saying, when that wind comes, when that time comes, oh, how many stories I've read, how many times have I seen it happen? Those winds start kicking up and blowing, and all of a sudden, that voice comes and says, where art thou? And we're saying, Lord, I need help, I'm in pain. But before I can say, Lord, help me, I'm saying, Lord, forgive me. Your winds have uncovered my idle life. And I need help from the Lord. Thank God for the wind. The great wind that he sends. They were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calmed unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. You hear that? And made vows. What kind of vows? Vows like, Lord, we're going to be serious from now on. We're not going to let this happen to us again, Lord. We want to be in touch. We want your blessings upon us. And take vows about better lives. I wonder how many of these guys say, and you'll give me liberty. How many of these mariners said, yeah, I haven't been treating my wife right, but Lord, I aim to now. How many of these things that I've been pretty rough character, but no more, Lord. I aim to do what I need to do. And it's all because of the great wind that God said. Where art thou? Where are you tonight? What situation would the Lord, if he come tonight, catch you in? It may not just be a sinful, but it may be a loose way. Or what is it? Are you comfortable? Where are you? Where are you tonight? It's a thought that every one of us ought to think, well, Lord, where am I? Where am I? You know the story of Jonah. A great fish swallows Jonah. This is all of the Lord's doing. And you may say then, Jonah, where are you? I'm in the belly of a fish. That's where I'm at. You know what the belly of a fish is? He's right there in that place that the ultimate has happened. Now, Jonah, you had time to change your mind. You could have done it before you got on the ship. You could have done it after it. You could have done it during the middle of the waves. And you could have said to those mariners, if you all, before you throw me, let me go talk to the Lord a while. And repented and said, Lord, I'm sorry that I took the course I have. And repent of it all. Jonah didn't do that. Jonah was still in that state. I want my way. I want my way, folks. We know, don't we, what we're saying. I'm in between that place of God that I know and that place that I would take of my own life. But he's in the belly of the fish now. And now, where are you going to go now, Jonah? God, right here. And now it's time. Jonah, where art thou? What has life done for you? Folks, what has sin done for you? What's the world done for you? What blessing does it give you? What good has got from it? Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But it's a short season. Youth, let me tell you, you'll pay for everything you do. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful where you go. Many, many, many young, innocent people that just thought it was going to be fun found themselves in a bad place. Young man up our way got in trouble he was a football player and he got in trouble for driving too fast. He got a ticket, so the coach found out about it and said, we're going to have to deal with him. We don't want them to be that way. And made him run extra laps and do all this. And it soured the young man because this guy was, but he cared what he did. He tried to get him to change that. And he soured the young man. And he said he was going to a banquet. The bus full of the players was going. But he had his own vehicle. And he was going to this banquet in his own vehicle. He passes the bus at a high rate of speed. He was angered. He's going to show him. And when he come back in, he overplayed it. Went off the road. Come back on, overplayed it. And he rolled that thing. He said, rolled 9 times right down the highway. Right there in front of his classmates, he gave his life. Young man. 16, 17 years old, gave his life. Where are you? Is the normal course of life is that I'll show them I'll harm myself? I'll be bitter. I'll hurt you any way that I can if I've got to destroy myself. You know that's real? Lord, have mercy. Where are you tonight?
I want to look at another passage of Scripture. Oh, let's see. It's in the 14th chapter of Numbers. I believe this is Scripture once. You remember the time that the children of Israel were supposed to go into the land of Canaan? And the Lord had promised them and worked their lives and brought them out of Egypt and was going to take them to the promised land.
Where are you? God gave a promise. God has led and worked, and now all it takes is faith. All it takes is stepping in. God has something special.
But you remember the story. I'll pick it up about 26th verse. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying,
How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I have sware to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcass shall, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcass be waste in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all the evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, whom returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, die by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Now that was the story of the children of Israel denying what the Lord had told them, taking it by faith and going in and getting the promise which the Lord had gave them. They were evil in the sight of the Lord. And what's amazing to me is these people, they thought they could do something without the Lord that they didn't think they could do with him. Now you understand how silly we can become. The Lord said, I'll be with you. And if you'll go over there and conquer the land, I'll be with you. We can't do it. We can't do it. God be with us or not, we can't do it. So they wasn't going to go. And now they're saying we can go do it, and the Lord ain't with them. I tell you, folks, our human minds will get us in all kind of trouble. But where are they? Where were these people? What caused them to be in that kind of a place? Totally blown by the winds of their emotions and all those things. Where are you tonight? Lord, help us to build upon our lives and upon our faith. Line upon line, line upon line. You know, this is not just one big a moment of and we get it all. No, it's a working. And what happens many times, we fail in that working. Lord, help us to continue on with our salvation. Continue on in faith. Allow the things that God brings into our life to build our faith for the next moment of our life. And when we shortchange God's working in our lives, we get to a place like this. You look at what God did. Did God not try? I look at that and say, what happened to them? There was a witness against these people because they was two men that went through everything the other ones did. They went through it too. Why then did they come out saying, we're well able? What was the difference? But look at what the Lord did. He worked mightily to bring them out of Egypt. Lord, if you read that, I remember an article Brother Austin Wilson wrote about that. And it was something he was saying about how that God worked in bringing them out of Egypt. And all those plagues confounded the gods of Egypt. Before he took them, they was down there for 400 years. You don't think they was tainted with some of those ideas? Sure they were. But God wanted them to come out of there completely knowing that he was God. And he in his process of hardening the Pharaoh's heart, that was nothing more than he could show the children of Israel that he was God above the next God that they had. The God of the Nile, that God couldn't keep the river from turning to blood. The gods of the flies and all that, they couldn't do nothing. But God overwhelmed all their gods. And not only that, he wanted to show them that the land they was going to was going to be full of idolatry. And that the gods that they come from was no different than the gods that they was going to meet out there too. And he was going to prove himself God before he took them out of there. And what did they do, the first temptation they had once they got on the other side? They built an idol. After all that God had proven to them who he was. Now I ask this question, where are you tonight? Has God done anything for you? Can you say in your life, God healed me? I know he did. I know God put his finger on this problem and delivered me from it. I know God done that. You know God done it before, you do it again. And God wants us to lay hold of that. Where are you tonight? Have you allowed those things in your life to be meaningful? The children of Israel failed time and time and time again. They're out there thirsty and wondering, I'm going to die of no water. And the Lord brings water out of a rock. You know that if God brought water out of the rock there, then if they needed it over there, they could do it again. We're hungry. He feeds them manna. They get even hungry. He sends them quail. You know, they murmured and murmured. It does look like they, where are you at? It's no wonder you were not going to go into the promise. You failed all your tests down the way. You kept getting tests. You kept getting tests. Folks, have you ever failed tests? You know what you're supposed to do when you fail the test? Say, I want to take that again. Now, oh, wait a minute. No, I've got to pass the test. Lord, I don't feel like I handled that right. Can I take that test again? You know, it was very in school they didn't do that a lot. But there was times you could say, do I get another chance on this? I want to pass that test. I want to pass it. Where are you at tonight? The children of Israel wanted to do something by themselves that they couldn't, that they wasn't willing to do with the Lord. And that's strange to me. But these people got themselves into a place to where they didn't have faith enough. They looked at what the eye. Are you serving God tonight by your eyesight? The truth of it is, faith is the truer way to see what's going on. The natural things around you doesn't give a good perception of what's really going on. It's by faith. It's a better way of seeing the world. It's a better way of seeing what God's doing than just to see and say, many people would say, well, God must be blessing them because they're wealthy. Really? That's not a good way to judge. Lord, help us where we at tonight. I want to look at another scripture. I used it last night, but I want to use it again in this sense. It was the story of David and his, and I just want to read again the first couple verses of the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. Says, and come to pass that after the year was expired, that the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramoth, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David, where you at? Where you at? Where art thou, David? Are you in the will of God? Or are you right there at catastrophe's door? Are you right there where the devil is about to take total advantage of you? David, where you at in your heart? Have you lost the zeal? Have you lost the passion? David, where are you at? Folks, it's better to deal with it now than deal with it after the devil gets a hold of it in your life. It's better to deal with it now. To deal with the things and that, to deal with the results of the calamities that's going to happen in life. It's better to be an ounce of prevention. It's worth a pound of cure. It's better to deal with those things and say, Lord, I feel myself leading off. I feel myself going away. I feel myself. I know I'm not where I used to be or I should be. Lord, I know I've allowed my heart to be affected by other things in this natural life. I've not guarded myself like I should have guarded, and I've allowed things to come in that's tantalized me, that's leading me away, that I don't have the desire I once had. And I'm the only one that knows it. Lord, help us. I think the Lord wants to speak tonight to us and say, where are you? Now, the Lord knows where you are. But He is only going to work when you come. So He asks this question, where are you? Where are you? You. Think about you. Where are you tonight? Well, I'm hiding over here in the brush. I'm on a ship. I want away from the presence of the Lord. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want the light shining in here. There was a song we used to sing it a lot around, but it was something about there is a room, there's a place in my heart that I don't want anyone to go. Because there's things in there that I really don't want anybody to know about. There's a certain part of my life that I really would be embarrassed by if people knew. But the Lord will come and say, where are you at? Where are you at? And He'll care enough sometimes to send the wind. And it'll get so serious in our lives sometimes, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the times that it sends us and people get to that place that they throw up their hands in resignation and say, I need help. I need a touch from the Lord, and I got something that's hindering me in this battle. Do you know, really, when people come for prayer, we have confidence in one another, but you know, I still think that it's a good thing, and I don't do it much either, but it's a good thing to say to those that come to the altar, brother, how is it? Really? Brother, how is it? Is there any reason why God wouldn't be pleased to take care of this for you? Because, you know, that's the higher reason why we're doing it all. It really is. Where are you? You have an expectation of the prayer of faith here. Where are you? Are you in that place to receive it without question? I know the Lord would be pleased. Lord, help us. In this story, I'll finish this little thought here. David was not in the place that he should have been. When it was a time that kings go to the war, he sent Joab and he tarried at Jerusalem. And that decision of his life, made for whatever reason it was a bad decision. He was in a place that he wasn't supposed to be in. But more than being at Jerusalem and looking out from the top of the roof, and here, he was in a bad place. It's in here where it was wrong. It only shows up outwardly. But it's in here. You understand? It's in here where people's temptations are. It's in here the reason he wasn't at war. It was in here that made him not turn his head like he should have. It was in here that made him do that. And so tonight, this question pertains to in here. Where are you tonight? Where are you? I know why God sends these messages. It's the wind. He wants to stir your soul. So you'll say, Lord, I hear you. I've heard the question, and I want to give you an answer. I need help. I need help. You pray for me.